Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Avi Bender, Chief Technology Officer at the U.S. Census Bureau. Also joining our conversation from IBM is Paul Kayada. So, Avi, Census relies on information and technology to carry out its mission, and I'd like to explore a little bit about Census's technology and innovation strategy. Would you tell us a little bit more about it, how it relates to the Bureau's overarching IT strategy, and more importantly, how is the Bureau using 21st century technology to meet its centuries-old mission?
Our mission may be centuries old, but I would assure you that as we speak, we're very much using 21st century technology. I think the challenge that's really facing us is how to leverage and scale our business to maximize the use of these technologies. I think that's really very important. An increasing number of our surveys are being conducted through the internet. We have a significant modernization program using VDI, virtual desktop capabilities, to support both headquarters and the field, which just recently went through a consolidation. We're actively assessing the feasibility of BYOD, bring your own device, and we're continuing to transform the public-facing internet to deliver data, APIs, and as you know, even mobile computing apps. This is going to be an evolutionary process, and we're making significant progress even with these very difficult budgetary constraints. I would say that we're the quintessential big data organization. We continue to look for ways to deliver this data to the public to make it very useful. And if you go to our website and you listen to some of the recent press releases, we're continuing to meet that demand for data consumptions to the external world on all types of different devices. All of this is very much in line with both the overall mission of the U.S. Census Bureau and to the business missions of the surveys we conduct. It's very much in sync with both our IT strategy, and I think later we may be discussing both the digital strategy of government. We're very much in sync with that, simply trying to institutionalize what is common sense, to be honest with you.
So as a visionary, and as you described it, a change agent within the Bureau, would you elaborate on your efforts to foster an enterprise view that supports a one connected enterprise and how you may have influenced the movement toward actionable, strategically focused enterprise? For example, how does moving toward a service-oriented architecture that you mentioned earlier and a flexible architecture approach move toward those efforts?
Well, Paul, fostering that enterprise view is not so difficult as that may seem. And I sense that many of my colleagues at the Census Bureau share this view. I think the challenge that we face right now is more of the how. I mean, how can we get to that end game of the one connected enterprise when the organization, as you may know, is decentralized by virtue of the mission and the surveys that we conduct? But I think there's a recognition that the survey lifecycle, from survey design to data collection, processing, and data dissemination, is very similar across our various business units. So whether you're conducting a demographic survey, economic survey, or a decennial survey, there are great similarities. So the SOA approach, the service-oriented architecture approach, provides the ability of building survey capabilities that are decoupled from the devices and operating systems and are very much web-centric. And that's going to give us incredible flexibility to either build our own capabilities and services or, in fact, leverage external cloud resources in terms of scaling the business. SOA, together with our cloud strategy, will really help us transform us to that end state. And remember that the end game here, a very important end game in delivering our service, is to do it faster, better, and cheaper. We don't want to reinvent the wheel. It's important for us to be modular, flexible, and leverage expertise from industry. SOA forces us to think about capabilities, modularity, open standards, being flexible, and getting away from many of these point-to-point integrated solutions, which, of course, are very difficult to maintain.
Enterprise governance is critical to the success of the Bureau. I'd like to explore your efforts to enhance the Bureau's technology governance process. Could you elaborate on the efforts that the areas and the benefits realized in pursuit of those activities? And how does governance enable your organization to optimize resources across the enterprise?
Governance clearly helps us optimize resources, but believe it or not, governance is also key to innovation, even though the word sounds a bit constraining. You need to have technical, financial, and security guardrails. And governance provides that. Given the nature of the business that we're in and the sensitivity of the data, the oath that we each as individuals take to protect this data, we need to innovate. We need to do this in a secure way, and governance provides those guardrails. That's why, as part of our EA program, I established a standards working group and the architecture review board. And these are benefits that we can make smarter decisions about acquiring products, negotiating licensing deals, and eliminating waste, again, including as many people from the Census Bureau in the governance so they have a stake and skin in the game. Governance beyond our various governance bodies also extends to our system development lifecycle process, which will provide the structure and the discipline to modernize our IT infrastructure and our applications. As you know, at each stage of the SDLC gate reviews, we can assess those risks, both technical, financial, and security. Being able to do that throughout the life cycle of a project, we can ensure that our resources are being applied correctly to do the right thing. I'm expecting that the digital strategy and some of the moves I'm seeing from the White House will continue to push federal agencies toward instantiating this whole digital strategy approach and open data standards through an SDLC process to manage the complete information lifecycle within the Bureau.
Avi, before we get into external customers, I'd like to focus a little bit on your internal customers, and that's the workforce that meets the mission of Census. And every 10 years, Census ramps up its workforce to over 500,000 people. In that brief period, the Census Bureau has what is, in essence, the largest mobile workforce. What are you doing to change the way it does business, and how does that relate to your mobility strategy?
We have to support 12,000 people in the field as it is today. And as you know, when we eventually get to this 2020 census, that workforce is going to exceed over 500,000. We need to have a capability to provide the tools for the people in the field. Most likely, these will be mobile devices, and these devices need to be smartphone-like capabilities that will enable a mashup of both access to geographic information, case information. So these devices must have multiple capabilities. How we deploy these devices today for 2020 has yet to be determined. For the status quo, we are using traditional encrypted laptops. As we look towards 2020, we are going to need to very carefully evaluate the potential use of VDI technologies. Security is a major concern. We'd like to standardize the experience of the end users because these are individuals that comes from all walks of life, all different levels of education, and we'd like to be able to achieve standardization, and to the extent we can deploy it through our VDI capabilities, we can improve our security as well. We're thinking through this right now. The 2020 is still a bit away, but we're conducting research in that area.
So, Avi, as part of Census's mission, it returns its data to the people. To that end, it has launched its first app, America's Economy. Would you tell us more about its creation, and what are the benefits of this app?
Sure, Michael. The American Economy app was launched in August of 2012 and highlighted a recent White House event that I attended. It provides updated statistics on the U.S. economy, including monthly economic indicators and economic trends. The app consolidates kind of a mashup data from the Census Bureau, the Bureau of Economic Analysis, the Bureau of Labor Statistics. The app allows access in real time to 16 economic indicators. It's a wonderful example of taking big data and making it consumable for the public. There are tremendous benefits from these apps, and as they aggregate this information, discrete data from several agencies to create a more meaningful perspective about our economy and trends. And we're excited about this because this approach puts the data in the hands of consumers, local communities, people who really need this information without having any intermediaries. It was done through a cross-bureau team of technical people, business people, the people from the Economic Directorate, And together we came up with this app, and we've also used some contractor support to help us out.
What about the Census Bureau's first ever public application programming interface, or API? How does the new API let developers customize Census Bureau statistics into the web or mobile apps, and what other apps may be on the horizon?
We actually do have several apps on the horizon, and I'll just use it as a teaser for the time being that's coming out. But this question you asked me, Paul, about the APIs is really very important because it addresses the federal digital strategy and our commitment to the public. We will periodically create apps, and we have two apps on the constructions. But I'm more excited about what we learned recently from a commerce-sponsored Challenge.gov contest that resulted in three winning applications that you can check on their website at the SBA that make use of census data mapping and data from other agencies. These apps were enabled by both our data and the APIs. To encourage innovative uses of census data and to provide easy access, we have to create these APIs. Ideally, we would like to be in a future situation where we have a single API to all of our data. For the time being, we are releasing data incrementally. The first API was in the summer of 2012. This developer API-friendly API was allowing users to access the 2010 census summary files and the 2010 American Community Survey five-year data that I mentioned earlier. Using this API, the users can have access to census data such as population measures, poverty, and household income, and by various geographic boundaries. I think it's important for us to publish these APIs because the intent here is to have the public, small businesses, large businesses, the communities innovate with our data. Although it's nice for us to, how can I say it, provide some starter apps, we're not in the mobile app business per se. We are really in the business of releasing our data and creating an underlying ecosystem or platform to enable others to innovate with our data. We are providing examples of what can be done, but we're very looking forward to helping accelerate the process by which others use our data. The API is a mechanism by which we can make that happen.
Avi, you've mentioned a couple of times during our conversation the administration's digital government strategy. Would you tell us a little bit more about that? I know you've been recognized and Census has been recognized as a promoter of this. What is the strategy and how have you used it to better serve citizens?
So Brian McGrath, our CIO, has asked me to take a leading role for the Bureau to achieve that approach. The federal digital strategy is about unlocking the power of government data and spurring innovation. I know Todd Park and Stephen Rokel at the administration do a lot of talks about that. It's actually a very good document. The strategy applies to the Census Bureau because we're a big data provider, and our mission is to conduct surveys and publish the data by the public. The digital strategy has some really good fundamental principles and tenets about making open data, about instantiating data throughout open data standards throughout the information lifecycle, about making this information very much customer-centric. These are very good principles by which to build systems. I'm leveraging the strategy not so much as a compliance document. You know, sometimes information comes out of OMB, and typically folks look at that and say, okay, here's what we got to do by this schedule, check, 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 it's done. I think the basic principles and tenets and the strategy are very important and are good guidance about how to build systems as well. Now, the strategy was very much mobile dissemination-centric. I think it is being expanded to really look at the back-end systems as well. Before you can get to dissemination, before you can publish APIs, you really got to have your act together on your infrastructure, on your plumbing, the whole data collection process. So we intend to really leverage this strategy to think through about how we collect, how we process, how we disseminate information, and to apply the basic principles of the strategy. And as I mentioned earlier, also to actually make something happen by using a service-oriented architecture.
How is Census identifying new technologies and promoting innovation? We will ask Avi Bender, Chief Technology Officer at the U.S. Census Bureau, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.